This week's Shiloh of the Week actually comes from what I hope is not classified information. Mark, you'll chastise me later if I'm revealing too much. But from the CSS department, always appreciative of the CSS leadership, continually securing for us government grants to pay for enhancements to the security of the building. And one of the upcoming projects is improving the doors, the glass, and the mechanism that locks the doors. And Mark was showing me how currently the way the door works over here, when it's operated electronically, if you get buzzed in, so there's something in the wall that disengages from the door so that the door can open and close. The next iteration of that security system will be such that the wiring is actually in the door and it will pull back instead of the mechanism being in the wall and releasing itself from the door, if that makes sense. So Mark wanted to know if there are any implications of Muktzah as far as the use of the door now that you're going to be maneuvering, you're going to be manipulating the door which has the electronic mechanism in it rather than it being disengaged and pushing back into the wall. So there's actually something which sheds light on a lot of Muktzah principles. Try to do it quickly. But we have different categories of Muktzah in general. We're going to focus on two. One is what we call a Kli Shamlachto L'Heter, and the other is a Kli Shamlachto L'Isser. Each one, respectively, is a type of utensil or tool that is primarily used for permissible usages, and the second is primarily used for prohibited usages. I'll give you a surprise example just to see which category it fits in. An easy one would be, let's say, a fork. A fork is probably a Kli Shamlachto L'Heter. What do? You use it to eat. What if I told you a pot? What about a pot? Is a pot a Kli Shamlachto Isser or a Kli Shamlachto L'Heter? The answer is it's a Kli Shamlachto L'Isser. What do you primarily use a pot for? Use it to cook. Right? So how am I able to move around my pot? Don't tell this to the Baal Vasas. How do I take a pot of soup and bring it to the table and so forth? So the answer is, one answer is, that the Kli Shamlachto L'Isser category does have two critical exceptions. The situations in which it's permissible to move a Kli that's primarily used for Isser is what we call Tzarech Gufo and Tzarech Makomo, when it itself is used as an implement or when its place is necessary. A classic example of this would be a hammer. A hammer is also a Kli Shamlachto L'Isser because most of the time what you do is you hammer in nails, which is prohibited to do on Shabbos. However, it can also serve the purpose of cracking nuts. So if I need the hammer to crack the nuts because I don't have a nutcracker nearby, I can take a hammer and I can use it for itself to crack the nuts, and that's not a violation of Muktzah. I shouldn't schlep it around the house when I'm done using it. I should put it down. But if it happens to be there, I can use it to crack the nuts. Another usage of a hammer that would be permissible, or movement of the hammer would be, if I come home from shul and lo and behold, there's a hammer on my chair and I need to sit here, or it's on the dining room table, it's in the way, so I'm allowed to move it out of the way. So believe it or not, even if we would consider this door to be Muktzah, another surprise. Can you open a car door on Shabbos? The answer, based on what I just told you, is yes. Why? Okay, now let's leave out the possibility that it's going to turn on a light in the car. That's obviously something which is more of a contemporary concern. It used to be, I grew up, my father had a duster. If you guys remember a duster and an Impala, okay? It didn't do anything other than open the door when you open that door. But again, the notion is that while it is a Kli Shamlachto L'Isser, it's a car, right? But let's say I left something in the car before Shabbos, and I need to get inside. So to open it is Tzorech Makomo. In the same way that the hammer is in the way on the dining room table, the door is in the way for me to get something permissible that I left in the car. Not only that, but if I was in a narrow garage and I wouldn't be able to exit because the door is in the way, I'd be able to close the door, or at least, it's always better to do it like with your body, with your elbow. But if I can close the door in order to get through. And believe it or not, we do that all the time. You ever put dishes in the dishwasher on Shabbos? Now, you're not going to run the dishwasher on Shabbos. You're going to do it after Shabbos. But how do you open the door? The door has all kinds. Nowadays, it's computerized. There's all kinds of wiring and things, sensors in the door. But it's in your way. I need some storage space in my kitchen. So I'm allowed to move the door, open the door in the same way that I would move the hammer from the table in order to insert things in the dishwasher. And there's a good chance if you leave the dishwasher open over the course of Shabbos, someone's going to trip on it. It's in the way in the kitchen. So you can close it. Again, some people will tell you it's better to do it, kick it with your foot or whatever. But strictly speaking, it's mutter because it's in the way. Okay? With that all in mind, so this door, again, we're not going to be operating the electric mechanism, locking and unlocking it on Shabbos. We'll have to see what ultimately happens if most of the time it's going to be opened electronically with some sort of fob, or it's going to be used other ways primarily. But even if we do consider it a kli shemachtel iser, where most of the time it's being used for prohibited purposes, so the same thing is with the pot. I can move the door in the same way I can move the pot, because I need to get the pot from here to there in order to serve the soup. Okay? For that reason alone, it shouldn't be any different than a car door or a door of a dishwasher, maybe the door of a refrigerator, where I need to get inside and I need to get it out of the way when I'm moving. And likewise, if you need to enter shul, okay, and the door is in your way, so then it becomes the same structure, that the same halachic structure, rubric of kli shemachtel iser being permissible letzorach makom in order to be able to get through. And therefore, as long as we're not operating the electronic mechanism, the door itself, despite whatever wiring and mechanisms are in the door, would be permissible to use in that vein. Okay, we're going to try to finish up the topic we spoke about yesterday. I want to add one more dimension to the leniency we discussed. We were talking about the new apparatus, the door lock in the shul, and we gave one approach as to why it should not be a problem. And I realized I didn't fully flesh out the story with the pot, and by doing so, it'll give us a bigger picture of additional issues of leniency as far as the door is concerned. First of all, in terms of opening a car door, so we said that in theory it should be okay to get something inside that's permissible, provided that nothing else happens when you open up the door to the car. That may not be so practical nowadays, but just as a footnote, Poskim do say that we have to contend with the Maris Ayin factor. It's one thing if it's in your garage, which is the case we spoke about yesterday, but if it was on your, in front of your house, it could easily be mistaken for someone who's using their car on Shabbos. But that's not our topic. We want to know about the pot. We established that the way we determine, the way we classify whether an item should be mukta or not, first and foremost is to see what is its primary use. Is it generally used for something prohibited on Shabbos or not? So a pot, we would imagine, would be classified as a kli shemachtel iser, because generally speaking, the purpose of the pot is to cook with, and that is a problem. So let's work with that definition for the moment. If that's the case, then why can I move around my pot in my kitchen, in my house? So we have two factors. The first factor to take into account is what we call the principle of busis. There is a notion which tells us we should classify kalim not simply by their function, but also when the function of that kli is to serve as something else. And even if the purpose of the kli per se is prohibited, but when it is really there to facilitate or to allow something permissible to be used, then it is okay. The one example of this would be a drawer that has, on the one hand, forks and knives and spoons, but you also keep your cell phone chargers and things like that in the drawer. So I can open that drawer on Shabbos because that is what we call a busis ledavar ha'asar uledavar ha'mutar. It's servicing both, and primarily I need the permissible items on Shabbos, the utensils, and therefore we can brush aside, we can ignore the mukta items that are in the drawer. Something which goes back to the old country. Maybe you saw. Maybe your wife does it. But there is a practice to put other items on the tray where the candlesticks are. Maybe chals. Maybe benchers. Maybe a sitter. Maybe something like that. Sound familiar? Look familiar? Whereby the idea is that the tray is mukta by virtue of the fact that it is servicing. It is providing the space where the candles, which are mukta, are going to be held. So to pick up the tray, even after the candles have gone out, is problematic. But if there's something else at the beginning of Shabbos on that tray permissible, like the challahs, other things that belong in the table, so then the status at the beginning of Shabbos of that tray is a basal davar aser, ula davar mutter, and it's permissible to move. If you turn back the clock, I think going to Wayutov from about a year and a half ago, the shiloh of the week was, what happens when someone comes up to the rabbi after davening Friday night that he forgot to take his car keys out of his pocket before Shabbos began? Do his pants become a basis ledavar ha'aser? Ayin sham, you can listen to the recording. But that's the principle. And that would actually help us with some of the appliances we were talking about yesterday. Your refrigerator door, which we said nowadays, a refrigerator door has all kinds of sensors and computers inside of it. But luckily, when you open up your refrigerator door, you also have your ketchup and your soda and everything else. So that door is certainly servicing, giving a place for you to for storage of the food that you need on Shabbos, which is, of course, permissible. So that, in its own right, would permit the movement of the door as a busis, ledavar ha'asher, ledavar mutter, again, provided that lights don't go on, or the like when you're moving such a thing. So my pot that's full of chicken soup on a Friday night as Shabbos begins is a busis to the chicken soup. So even if the pot normally per se would be a davar, a klisha maftul iser, but the fact that I needed to then, you know, to bring it to the table or bring it to where else, wherever else I'm going to spoon off the soup into the bowls, so that would make it a bustle the davar. How much? What if I give out all the soup and there's nothing left in the pot? So I have to leave the pot on my counter the whole Shabbos. So either we'll employ what we said yesterday. It could be it's in the way. It's a klisha maftul iser is mutter if it's tzarach makom. I need the counter space in my kitchen. Alternatively, this is more applicable for the Baal Bustas. If it is so uncomfortable for you to be in the presence of a dirty pot, then you're allowed to move it. Because if you had a dirty diaper, okay, this is going to sound a little bit funny, a dirty diaper is mukta, okay? A dead mouse in a trap is mukta. But because it's so detestable, because it deters from my kavod habrios and my own Shabbos as a result, I'm allowed to pick it up and move it to wherever it needs to go. Out of wherever people are going to be hanging out over the course of Shabbos. Okay, so in the end of the day, most of what we're talking about is mutter. It's just a question of figuring out the halakhic mechanism by how it's going to work. But the heter on top of all this, even if we didn't have the principles that gave us the latitude of moving the pot, not all pots are created equal. Not all cooking utensils are created equal. If my wife makes a kugel in a Pyrex, it's conceivable that the kugel will stay in the Pyrex for several days after Shabbos, because I love the Rebbetzin's leftovers, okay? I'm trying to teach my kids to love the Rebbetzin's leftovers also. They're delicious, okay? But what have we done? By practically using the Pyrex, not just for the cooking that took place on Thursday night, Friday morning, but Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, I'll eat it all week, okay? Not joking. You can ask her. I'll eat it all week. So the Pyrex essentially is not a klisha maftul iser. We shouldn't stamp it entirely as a utensil that's used for cooking. On the contrary, 98% of the time, right? How long does it go in the oven for half an hour or whatever? But most of the time, it's actually klisha maftul leheter. It's like any other bowl or pot or something in your kitchen that holds food, which is of course klisha maftul leheter. So based on that, we can reevaluate many. It's going to be subjective, but many kitchen implements that otherwise would be leiser are at least 50-50 and probably going to weigh in favor of klisha maftul leheter if you use it to store the food afterwards. With that in mind, I think we can come back to our door, and even if you don't employ the kulas we mentioned yesterday, the door is a klisha maftul leheter, because most of the time, even if it's sometimes used to manipulate it, with the electronic mechanism, when someone who doesn't usually come to the shul, you know, buzzes on the door, they don't know the code, fine. But most of the time, people are going in and out without employing the mechanism. And as a result, it's a klisha maftul leheter by far more than it's going to be used for iser. And that would give another permissible angle to this shaila.